Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Hi, Sam. Welcome along to another episode of the Keane Odyssey 2. We're looking at Roy Keane's first book entitled Keane. We're doing this remotely from, usually it's from our homes, but you're not in your home this time. Oh, somebody's gone off there.
I'm in Edinburgh.
Whoa, what? Why?
I'm in an Ibis hotel room in Edinburgh.
Fuck.
And I've had a nap.
Have you taken all the time machine money and spent it on an Ibis in Edinburgh?
I've gone on a solo tour.
Jesus.
Where I'm not sort of performing in the conventional sense. It's more sort of street theatre.
Loose roofing.
Where I'm going to go to different... It's like jazz podcasting live. And I'm just going around to different towns and cities in the UK, and you'll just see me on high streets or town squares or in parks, and I'll just start riffing on things. Like some of it will be topical, some of it will be character-based, right?
Right.
It's interactive, so I might just approach, like, a woman and start going, do you want to come to the docks with me? Because I've got a fucking container
some
ship
funny
coming
powder.
In. Yeah, and I think it's, you know, a shrewd way to spend my share of the money.
Are you
and
doing
also
some,
your share of the money.
Thank you. Are you doing some classic predictions as well from the archives?
Yeah. People
some
like to see the old stuff.
Yeah,
it's like when ABC toured Lexicon of Love. That's just what people want from ABC a lot of the time. Do you know what I mean?
I went and saw that. That's what I wanted.
Did you?
I went on my own.
Oh, God. I was so gutted to have missed that at the Albert Hall. I'd have loved to have seen that. But anyway, I have seen ABC, but they were just doing all the hits. I just want to see the album.
It wasn't as good as the Bananarama show we both enjoyed.
No, that's the best gig either of us have ever been to.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter got really upset about that, and we said that in a recent podcast.
Silly cunts.
Yeah, exactly. Right, Roy Keane, where were we? You got something else to add?
So anyway, just one other thing is that I've when I nipped out a minute ago to buy a special cable for my microphone, I'm here in an Ibis hotel in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
I stopped off on the way back. It might have been while I was 5 minutes late than I said I'd be because there's a Subway opposite, and I got a vegan sausage roll for myself.
Nice.
So I'm fucking living the dream, mate.
Yeah. Mm, okay. Whatever works for you. Right, 24th of May, 1999, we flew to Spain, says Roy, on Concorde.
What? You can't fly to Spain on Concorde?
That's what he says.
He's making it up.
Take, like, 3 minutes or something.
That sounds like a child's bullshit.
Yeah, didn't it?
Yeah, what did you do for holiday this year? Yeah, we just went camping in Devon. Yeah, I went to Spain on Concorde with my dad.
Yeah.
Just doesn't fly that route. Plus, I'm sure by 1999, it had been outlawed.
I think it had because it blew up, didn't it? Or crashed or something. Hey, this is what he says. He says, it's the biggest game for the club since the 1968 European Cup final. Flying Concorde may have been the manager's way of reminding us and the world that only the best would do for Manchester United. You never know with Alex Ferguson. He's always looking for an edge. Fuck, he's always looking to fly on Concorde, more like.
Yeah.
He probably wanted to fly it himself.
Any excuse, he was trying to fly it to fucking away games in the UK.
Yeah.
He tried to fly it to fucking Aston Villa from Manchester, the mad cunt.
we stayed in a beautiful hotel overlooking the sea. As usual, I was rooming with Dennis. Dennis Irwin, of course. Roy and Dennis Irwin, that's a sitcom in itself, I think, isn't it? He says, this would prove more trying for Dennis than for me. Yeah. For some time, I'd questioned the idea that grown men should have to share rooms on the road. It's a fucking good point, isn't it? It's a very good point. What are we going to share my room with a grown man for? Look at me.
That's fucking right.
I'm 28 years of age. I'm the captain of Manchester United. and you put me in a room with an old man, Dennis Irwin. It's like having to share with me grandpa.
Dennis is a strange man, you know. He tries to go to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He has his dinner at 2 p.m. He has his lunch at 11 a.m. He has his dinner, his tea at 5 p.m. and then he's asleep in his bed.
And his dinner, he always has a starter, tomato soup, and he sits there sipping it. Drives me up the fucking wall, it does.
And anyway, he sits there watching Countdown, doing the Countdown conundrum. And when he gets excited because he thinks he's got the conundrum right, he spits his soup everywhere. Castles! It's castles!
It can't be castles, Dennis!
Fucking castles,
it's fucking
Dennis.
Nine
it's a
letters.
Short fucking word.
It's got to be nine fucking
letters.
They're
not going to say fucking castles. Well, castles is there, but it's going to be longer than that. Fuck me, Dennis. Go on, go to sleep.
You've got to use all the fucking letters, Dennis.
But for the fucking millionth time, Dennis, that's not how the Countdown conundrum works.
Cat! No, it's not cat!
Bang, bang, bang. What's going on in there? Ah, you're walking up. You're walking up Bobby Charlton now.
Nothing's a Bobby. Everything's fine. Nothing to worry about.
Are you sure? I can hear an awful lot of racket going on. I hope there's no misbehaviour.
Do I need to come in there with me squirty squirty? No, Dennis. No, sir, Bobby. Everything's all right.
Dennis, look what you've done. You wee cunt. With your fucking blatting and your soup.
You're going to get us
blind. Him up. He's going to come in here and blind us. How the fucking hell are we supposed to play in the Champions League final if we're both blind? I mean, we're both model pros, don't get me wrong, but that might even be beyond us.
You know what? I think this is Bobby's plan. He doesn't want any other Manchester United players to win the Champions League after he won it in 68. So he's going to try and blind us all. We're going to do something about
him. Just pretend to be asleep. He'll come in. You know, he arranges it so the hotel, he pays the concierge. He's got a key to every fucking player's room. So he can come in the night. Just pretend to be asleep. He won't touch you if you're asleep.
He can't blind you if your eyes are shut tight, Dennis.
I got that tip off of Lee Sharp. Before he went, you know.
Before he went to, you know, Leeds. He says there were probably sound economic reasons for the club to book 8 rooms instead of 16, but this was Manchester United, the largest empire in football. Why not allow each player the space and privacy that, for example, a travelling businessman or woman would feel entitled to? I'm going to put woman there as well, Roy, as well as travelling businessman, because, you know, women can be travelling businessmen as well these days. I don't know anything about that kind of thing, Dunphy. Just put what the fucking hell you like. I found room sharing an embarrassment bordering on insulting. Why did Dennis and I have to share? Worse still, at some clubs and in Jack Charlton's days with the Irish team, the manager selected your roommate for you. There are still some things football hasn't worked out, this room sharing nonsense being one of them. I wonder what percentage of footballers you would ask if they actually didn't mind sharing a room with a teammate for, you know, a bit of company and that sort of thing. What do you reckon?
I've got two experiences of sharing a room that with another man in adulthood.
Can I just say that before you go any further that on our forthcoming Top Flight Time Machine live shows, I will not be sharing a room with you at any point.
Fucking right, mate.
Don't take it personally.
I turned up in Dublin in about 1999 and Chris Evans was doing the Virgin Breakfast Show and TFI Friday.
That, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that happened that was really awful was we'd got a flight first thing in the morning, and when we fucking got to Dublin, it was still only about 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. And you know what it's like when you've had to get up at 4, you're fucked. And I knew I didn't have to do any work till the evening, so all I wanted to do was fucking crash out. Basically, not to be too crude about it, but you want to have a shit, a shower and a kip. Right. Yeah. And we're all in these two minivans. We get there. Chris Evans and all of his mob get out at the fucking Clarence, which is where they were doing the shows from. Right. And also it's the hotel belonging to you too. And it's a fucking amazing hotel.
Is that
we all
you
get out there and stand in a queue. Right. And I finally get to the front of the queue because I'm at the back. And the PR looks at me and goes, what are you doing here? I thought you were still in the van. You're not staying here. You're staying up the road. So I get back in
with
the fucking
all the scum.
Van. Don't worry. the PR who's arranged it all, he's staying in a nice hotel, yeah. So he sorted himself out before me. I go down there, I'm with this photographer I've only just met on the plane, right? This like, bloke who's a fucking, like, what would turn out to be a nutter. We get to the hotel room, they give us one key. And I go, what's this? We need two rooms. They go, no, you've been booked into one room, a twin room together. And I was just like, my heart sank. You know, you just want to take off your fucking trousers and, like, romp around like a baby does, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing here in the Ibis, right? And
that's why you were lit.
They go, I said, look, I don't fucking care. I'll pay. Just give me another room. They go, no, it's St. Patrick's Day. We're all booked up. You won't get any other rooms anywhere. So I go, fuck. So he didn't seem that bothered. We go up to the room and he just goes to me, listen, mate, I know we've only just met and now we have to share a room together and you probably just want to crash out, but that's going to be weird now if we both go to sleep. Neither of us are going to be able to handle it. So there's only one thing we can do. And I, oh no, that's Check it. He didn't say something. I went to the toilet. When I came back out, he had opened up the fucking minibar, removed every single drink and opened all of them. Every single miniature, every single bottle of wine, every single can of beer. He wasn't drinking them, but they were all laid out on the table open. And I went, what's this? And he went, well, look, you know, we can't sleep. This is a complete nightmare. We don't want to share a room. We've got hours to kill. So we might as well just drink all of this and get pissed together. And he goes, you know, and I said, no, I don't want to get pissed. And he said, yeah, well, look, I've opened it all now, so either way, we're paying for it. So we might as well just fucking get drinking.
Did he not have the sense? Did he have the sense to just go across the road and get some cans from a fucking offie?
No, I think he thought, I don't know. I think it was a power play. I think he was a bit older than me, and I think he was trying to show that he was a sort of a bad man, and he was sort of throwing down the gauntlet, as if to say, "Are you ready for this?" Yeah, complete cunt, but. I did start drinking with him, and in the end, we just fell asleep. But nothing happened. No, you know,
I'm not
nothing
saying
sexual.
It did. And even if it did, and nothing then, wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying the way that I ended that story made it sound like, and in the end, we cuddled up and fell asleep. Yeah, it was more did, like did, someone did, fell asleep
it,
in a chair.
It did kind of sound like you fell asleep in each other's arms, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Another time, we went on another press trip. I went to Euro 2000 when we beat... when we were 2-0 up against Portugal. Do you remember at half-time we were 2-0 up against Portugal and then the second half they beat us 3-2. I went to that game with a load of journalists and again, they fucking stuck us in twin rooms with people that we'd never met before until we were on the coach.
Jesus Christ.
And I went out in the evening and the bloke I was sharing a room with was obviously a bit boring and he just went to bed at like some early hour.
Like Dennis Irwin.
And... yeah, he did a Dennis Irwin on me. When I got in from the coffee shop or wherever I'd been, quite late, a bit pissed up and all the rest of it, I remember having to, like, fucking undress all quietly like you do with your girlfriend or your wife when you've come in late from the pub. You know, taking your trousers off super slowly so the belt doesn't make a noise. Anyway, I must have stumbled over and he woke up and went, "Will you please be quiet?" I was like, oh, sorry. Years later, I bumped into him and he was working for Waitrose magazine. So there you go.
That serves him right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So Roy says, on one hand, the club expect you to go out and play like a man to win matches for them. On the other, they want to treat you like a kid on a school trip, which is how you end up with two millionaire professional players, both internationals, sharing a small space for 3 days. This is mad, he says. Some people like to read. Others to watch television. Some are early to bed, like Dennis Irwin. Others not, like Roy, who I imagine paces up and down all night, listening to EMF on his Walkman and dancing about and that. some like a lie-in in the morning. Some are up at the crack of dawn. It's just fucking reading out all the various fucking variables of anyone that can stay in a hotel at any time. Some like to get a prostitute in. Some like to smoke crack.
All of them like to watch pornography. That is the one, unless you're Dennis Irwin.
Yeah, of course. Some of them like to read the Bible that's in the drawer. Some of them like to get
Dennis Irwin accidentally walks into Ryan Giggs's room by mistake. Ryan, Dennis, what are you doing in here? Get out. What? Haven't you ever heard a knocking?
This is not for your eyes.
Haven't you ever heard a knocking, Dennis? What? Oh, I'm sorry, Ryan. What the hell is that you're watching on the television there, Ryan? Dude, what is that, wrestling? I never seen wrestling like that before. You don't need to worry about it, right, Dennis. Just go back to your room. Oh, I'm fascinated by it now. Why are they mourning? Are they in pain? Or what is it? Why is there a wee goat there? Is this on a farm, is it? What's sake, Dennis.
Get out. What's it called?
It's called Mummy and Daddy Need Some Private Time, Dennis. Now piss off.
And he says there was another problem with the room sharing arrangement because Dennis was playing in the final, but I was not. My season was over. I felt pretty useless, and Paul Scholes felt the same. It's astonishing how out of things you feel when you're not playing. It's as if a glass partition descends between you and the players who are in the side. It's getting a bit fucking metaphorical now.
Oh.
Glass partition. Oh, and you are on the wrong side of the divide. It's like a recurring dream or something, isn't it? A recurring nightmare that he's had. I'm dreaming about the glass partition again. It's coming down, and everybody I love on the other side. And it's just me. It's just me. And fucking Peter Schmeichel and Professor Yaffle.
It's just me. And Mr. Tickets chasing me round in a fucking circle.
Yaffle's here. Schmeichel's here. Schmeichel's got his fucking sunglasses on again. I think he wants me to fight him.
Do you remember that story in the Class of 92 documentary where Nicky Batt thinks it's really funny to put a gigantic boiling hot tea urn right behind Peter Schmeichel?
Fucking hell.
Because Peter Schmeichel used to walk around the dressing room naked all the time. Because, you know, he's Danish. That's what they do, don't they? And they obviously found that quite amusing and weird. So Nicky Butt went and got a big fucking tea urn from the canteen, crept up behind Schmeichel, put it down close on to him by a bench, and then tapped him on the shoulder. So he turned around and scorched his big Danish cock on the tea urn.
I believe it was on a semi at the time.
Probably. And he's,
I'm guessing it was.
The Scandos are always on a semi, aren't they, at all times? They're always ready. And he's gone, why did you do that? And then he's chased.
Nicky Butt.
Why did you do that to my penis, Nicky Butt? And then he chased Nicky Butt out of the changing room and round the training ground, stark bollock naked, with his scalded member flapping in the wind like a cocker spaniel.
Chasing
a bit of silver paper. Although in this case, the piece of silver paper was Nicky Butt.
Yeah,
Alex Ferguson clocked it and went, look at that, Steve. Look at that, Steve McLaren. Look at that. Is that a cocker spaniel chasing a piece of silver paper in the wind? No, boss. It seems to be Peter Schmeichel.
Naked
with a scorched penis chasing Nicky Butt in the wind. Oh, I thought it was one of the two.
Nicky Butt got away, but Schmeichel continued to run round and round in the wind because he found it soothing on his scorched cock.
Probably did, yeah.
Fucking pervert.
Jalapeño.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
After training and a meal on Monday night, the players began drifting off to bed. Paul Scholes and I were left to our own devices. Some United fans were in the hotel bar. We joined them for a few drinks. What the fuck? That can't be right. Football is a better to play in the Champions League. Well, they're not a better player, but, you know, on duty for the Champions League final, getting pissed up with fans. That wouldn't happen now, would it?
I just can't fucking believe it happened then.
Yeah.
I mean, in the late 90s to you and I, 1999 does not seem like a long time ago.
No.
And I would have been astounded then if I'd heard a story about players on the piss with fans.
20 years though, mate. 20 years ago. Slightly pissed club captain Roy Keane crept quietly to bed in the early hours, and then he was at it again the next night with Scalzi. And he says, "My brothers had arrived on an overland journey from London by minibus. I tried to book them flights, but a couple of my cousins and a few other friends decided to hire a bus to make the trip. It was 4 a.m. when I crept back into the room where Dennis was once again sound asleep." And then he had a few beers on the Wednesday before they left the hotel for the... Fucking Keane's having a fucking jolly up here. He's on the piss on the Monday night, he's on the piss on the Tuesday night, and then he's on it on the afternoon of the final.
Is that because... He was suspended, right?
He was suspended, yeah.
So he's just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on holiday, you're not under much pressure, you've got a few nerves because I suppose you probably want the team to win, although you're never sure with Keane what his feelings were. And on top of that, I can't remember what I was going to say on top of that.
He's on a European city break, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, he's on a city break. The other thing is he's drowning his sorrows because he must have felt so gutted about not being able to play in it.
Yeah, there's that. He says, "The normal pre-match banter on the coach was very muted. Even Ryan Giggs and Nicky Butt were quiet. I suppose Roy, with a few drinks in him, could have started livening things up. Maybe with a sing-song."
"Okay, everyone, we're out singing Happy Birthday now."
not the traditional one, but the Stevie Wonder version. "Happy birthday to yous. Happy birthday to
yous." Come on now, you all know who
yous.
This was written for. Dr. Martin Luther King, one of the greatest civil rights activists of all time.
I'd like to now deliver
and
a lecture to you all.
I think it's appropriate.
I'd like to deliver a lecture to you all about Dr. Martin Luther King. I think it'll get you all psyched up for the Champions League final coming up.
"Roy, you are pissed. Sit down." "Shut up, Peter, you racist bastard."
"Right, now I'm going to deliver a lecture about Rosa Parks, seeing as we're on a bus and there's a big fucking racist over there. Everybody sit down."
"Now everybody, hush down, because before I start any of that, I'm going to sing a little song by the special AKA that goes like this. Free Nelson Mandela."
"Come on, join in, if you know the words."
"Join in if you're not racist."
"I'm assuming yous are all racist if you're not joining in the song." "Come on, we're united. United by name.
What do we stand for if it's not equality, racial equality? Come on now." "You're acting childish now, lads."
"We'd won three doubles, but everyone on the coach knew this was the biggest game we'd ever played. We'd been most places, but never here before. Uncharted territory. This was not just another game." And then he talks about the final, which we all know about, and the end bit. "I doubt we'll ever see another 3 minutes of football like that again." You must remember watching that. Did you go nuts when they scored those two goals and won it?
I really did, actually.
Yeah, I did as well.
I don't know if that's embarrassing or not, but I went really crazy. In fact, I slapped a German man around the face. It's not a memory that I feel particularly proud of.
Had you had a German man shipped in specially for the occasion, or was he a random German?
Yeah, we did. We were all watching him. We thought, none of us were United fans, the lads I was watching it with. And so we thought to ourselves, well, yeah, we're neutrals. How can we liven it up? Maybe we'll get some Germans to antagonise us.
Yeah.
So you could hire some antagonistic Germans, which are harder to come by nowadays.
Yeah.
But these were the days where Andreas Moller was still around, you know.
Yeah.
Remember that cunt in Euro 96?
Strutting around.
Yeah. So what we wanted was some real strutting Germans. No, where I watched it was near the office I was working at the time. And there was some German students, because it was near some university places, and some German students were in there supporting Bayern Munich really loudly, and they were really drunk and young.
Were they strutting?
And they were strutting, they were all up in our grill, and as a result, it made me enjoy it more.
And it wasn't even your team?
It wasn't even my team, but that's what I mean. Had it been my team...
Fucking hell, imagine
it. Would have been different. But I got, by the end, when Solskjaer scored the winner, I kind of felt like, I felt as if West Ham had won because these Germans had been so antagonistic. And we all jumped in a pile in this pub.
Yeah.
Right? In a big fucking pile. The pub, it's on Stamford Street called the Stamford Arms. Do you know that?
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Yeah. And it was upstairs there, and everyone fucking piled on top of each other. And the German was like, sort of, he had tears in his eyes. And I'm not particularly proud of this moment, but I got up and I slapped him around the face. You know, it was like a old fashioned slap, like someone might have done in sort of, you know, 16th century France or something like that. Yes, it was like, "Monsieur, you have insulted my family. Slap.
I demand satisfaction."
It was like I was offering him out for a duel, but he was already half in tears. That just finished him off. The night I slapped a German. Don't slap a German or anyone else. It was a strutting German, but violent acts like that are never the answer.
And it wasn't even your team.
One day I've been pitching a documentary whereby I try to find him, the young German I slapped on that fateful night in 1999, and go and make amends.
Yeah, you can get him to slap you back.
Yeah.
With interest.
Yeah.
20 years of interest. Fucking hell.
He'll be bigger now as
he
well.
He will be, yeah.
20 years of beer and sausages, he would have really beefed up. I mean, let's be honest, the only reason I was bullying him that night is because I was older and bigger than him.
Yeah.
Now I'm a decrepit old man.
Maybe he's pitching a documentary in Germany to come and try and find you.
I will get my revenge.
You don't know, do you?
On that stupid-faced Englishman who humiliated me all those years ago on one of the worst footballing nights of my life.
He might knock on your door at home on the morning when you're about to go for your last meeting to get this documentary green lit, and he's already got his green lit and he's making it and he's there, he's on your doorstep, he's doing his documentary. So that's a double and fucking whammy.
He's double ruined me, because first of all, there's no journey because I find him on the first day of filming, so there's nothing to do. And the second way in which he's fucked me is that he's given me a massive slap round the face the moment I've opened my front door.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's grown from a callow but strutting youth to a model of Aryan strength. Right? A Teutonic giant, right? And he's fucking, and he's like gigantic, like one of them. I can't remember what James Bond film it is, but anyway, he's a big 6'5" fucking sausage eating, beer guzzling German madman, and he slaps me so hard around the face it knocks me flying, breaks my jaw.
And
I lie there crying, and he says, "That is for where was the final?
Barcelona.
It was in Barcelona.
The Stamford Arms.
That is for the Stamford Arms." Oh, I'll be like this. Ich bin ein sorry. Ich bin ein sorry. I didn't mean it. I was young and drunk.
It wasn't even my team.
Don't hurt me anymore, Wolfgang. I'm old now. You can kill me. I've got a bad heart.
Actually, go on. Kill me. I deserve it. It's been preying on me mind.
I don't deserve to live.
It's been preying on me mind for 20 years. Do what you have to do, Wolfgang.
Oh, fucking hell.
He's probably been working out on his hand as well for the last 20 years, working on special hand exercises. And it'll be massive and fucking rock hard.
I hope his documentary has a montage with archive footage of him training his slapping technique, like in the Black Forest, slapping massive trees.
Yeah.
Slap on slap, and his father or his coach standing over him. Again, 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 und once und eine time more.
And with the with the Rocky music, but played by an umpa band.
Eine Schlapp und Hunter.
I want you to visualize Delaney. Visualize his peanut head.
They don't know who I am or where I am, but they've got artist impressions of me to help hunt me down.
Yeah.
Artist impressions of me when I was 23 years old and, like, all kind of, like, drunk and red-faced.
Yeah. Somewhere in Germany, there's a podcast being recorded right now with two fellas wondering whether the English fella from the Stamford Arms in 1989 is on his way with a documentary crew to fucking
tell me
I
Wolfgang.
I don't know how this works.
Tell me, Wolfgang, do you have any amusing stories when you think back to your memories of watching that fateful night against Manchester United? Well, Gunther, yes, I do. Although it is not so amusing.
It's painful.
Because it involves me being slapped around the face by an English man.
I was slapped by one of their Cockneys. He was not even a Manchester United fan. That is the worst part of it all.
I brought shame upon my family, Gunther, and my father's memory, and the proud nation of Germany, for I wept as the horrible English boy slapped me with the face and said in his horrible voice, "Have some of that, my son."
I wonder if there is a German version of Top Flight Time Machine. We need to track it down if there is. Get them on. Special guests.
To Flighten.
I don't know.
Fluschen. Top Fluschen.
Top Fluschen. Glockenspielen.
McKenna McCalla.
No doubt one of the fucking listeners will tell us what it's supposed to be called in German. Where are we? Yeah, so Manchester United won the Champions League. Roy wasn't playing. Paul and I were reluctant to respond when the manager urged us forward to receive our medals. We were in football limbo behind the invisible glass fucking wall, of course.
I tell you what, I'm in football limbo here, Scorsese.
How about Scorsese? You? How about you?
Wake up! Do you not feel that you're in fucking football limbo too?
Yeah, whatever, Roy. Yeah, football limbo. Yeah, whatever.
You're fucking wee ginger freak. Sorry, Scorsese, I shouldn't have said that to you. It's just really emotional for me with this all this limbo business.
I've got half a mind to throw you against the invisible glass wall. He says, no matter how many people tell me I deserve that Champions League medal, I know I don't. But we had a great night back at the hotel, etc, etc. I sang, laughed and drank the night away. Some of the lads hit the Barcelona nightlife, led by Dwight York, while I stayed in the hotel with my brothers and friends after 10 crazy days of drink. 10 days? Fucking hell. It was a holiday, wasn't it? Jesus.
He's fucking off the rails by this stage. I bet it's because, I mean, he's not being that frank, but I think it is just because it must have... You know, like, they always say that Jimmy Greaves, what really turned him to drink was missing out on the 66 Cup final and then Hurst, of course, scoring that hat-trick. And I think a man like Keane, with his mentality and his competitiveness, his will to win and all the rest of it, he was the captain. Yeah. He should have been the one lifting the fucking trophy. In fact, it would have been his nemesis, Schmeichel, lifting it that night. You racist cunt. They wouldn't let you lift it if they knew what your feelings were about Rosa Parks.
I got a good mind to ring Amnesty International before they do the presentation. Grass you up. But I'm not a grass.
Or at least a special AKA. Jerry Dammers is on the line and he doesn't like what he's hearing.
And then he ends the chapter about the Champions League. Perhaps I'll look at the video someday in the future and tell my grandchildren how wonderful it was. Perhaps.
Probably won't, though.
No, probably won't. I'll probably bury it in the woods.
With all the other memories, some of which I'm not at liberty to outline here in printed word.
Can't legally put them in the book. So, there we are. That's the end of this episode. And that's how Roy Keane didn't win the Champions League. But had a fucking lovely holiday in Spain for 10 days.
Yeah.
Lesson for all
probably
of us there.
Made up for it.
Good stuff.
Oh, mate, I'd relish a lovely holiday for 10 days in Spain right now.
Even if you've got to share a room with Dennis Irwin.
I think if it was free, if someone said to me, you can have a free holiday in Spain for 10 days, it's quite a nice hotel. It's like 4 stars. Mm-hmm. It's free.
All inclusive.
It's all inclusive. You have to pay for your flights. That's fine. I could probably get a cheap EasyJet.
Right.
But the accommodation and all your expenses there at the all-inclusive, all covered. Only caveat is you have to share a room with Dennis Irwin, and you have to. No tricks like upgrading or anything like that.
Is there, in the evenings, is there entertainment other than, like, say, bingo?
Maybe some live music.
It's live music. Is it the same...
Disco.
Is it the same kind of entertainment team that work around the pool during the day? Do they then do the shows at night as well?
Well,
a bit half-assed.
From my experience, it'll be yes. It'll be the same people. It'll be the, I can't remember what they call them at Club Med.
Animation team they got called last place I was at.
Yeah.
Don't know what that means.
Aqua aerobics in the day.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, they'll do like, oh, tonight's tropical disco theme or something
or
like that.
Night.
Or Hawaiian party and we all wear like garlands that they hand you as you walk into like the restaurant bit.
Yeah.
I went to one in the Caribbean once years ago and the two mate, it was two people doing practically everything. And one was called, I'm not joking, right? One was called the Lady Jennifer, right? She was never called Jennifer. She was always referred to as the Lady Jennifer. And now coming up on the stage is the Lady Jennifer, joined by her partner in crime, Sexual Chocolate, right? I mean, this was after coming to America, so he probably had got the name from there, but he genuinely was called Sexual Chocolate, and even on his staff badge, it said Sexual Chocolate.
Fucking
and
hell.
They did fucking everything. They did the aqua aerobics in the day, the dancing in the night, everything. I think they even ran the fucking creche. I'm glad I didn't have kids because I wouldn't want someone called Sexual Chocolate running the creche with my
Jesus
kids.
Jesus Christ. I went to Bliss All Inclusive in Kos a few years ago, and one of the entertainments one night was Michael Jackson tribute night, and then this one guy doing Michael Jackson, but he was just miming to the songs. He wasn't like singing them himself. And at one point he disappeared from the stage and everyone was like, ooh, where is he? It was like an amphitheater stage. So, like, behind the stage was a big wall, and he disappeared. Then all of a sudden, you saw the top two rungs of a ladder appear behind the wall behind the stage. And then a few seconds later, Michael Jackson appeared at the top of the ladder behind the wall and waved at everyone.
that is a great move.
That was the show-stopping moment.
Yeah, well, you know, like, people talk about him inventing the moonwalk and the first time he unveiled that. Apparently, before he died, that was going to be the successor to the moonwalk.
Going up a ladder.
Yeah, he'd got the move. He had got the move because he was heavily influenced at that stage in his career by Mr. Bennett, who was the caretaker out of Tony Hart's heart attack show.
Yeah.
The calamitous caretaker, because he was always peeping over things on the ladder, wasn't he?
Yeah. Of course, all the Michael Jackson tribute acts now, they don't use ladders anymore. It's all reach and wash.
I was going to ask you, mate. Just quickly before we go, because I'm sure all the people who subscribe to this service to listen to this podcast all the time, they want to hear this on their Roy Keane thing. But I was having a chat with my sister and her boyfriend the other day about Michael Jackson.
Hmm.
And they said, how do you feel about it? They live in New York, right? And there's a lot of PC-ness in New York. I think in New York, as in LA, the PC-ness and the liberal thinking's gone more extreme in as a response to Trump.
Right.
And they were like, I said, what do you mean, how do I feel about Michael Jackson? I think they saw I had a load of Michael Jackson albums, you know.
Out, you've been playing them all.
Yeah. And they said, how do you feel about listening to it these days? I said, I feel great about listening to it. Why wouldn't I? Fucking Off the Wall's probably my favourite album of all time. And they went, oh, yeah, okay, cool, yeah, we're with you. It's just that in New York, If like a song comes on, people like really all look at each other in a bar or whatever and like draw breath, and then it gets taken off quite quickly.
Oh, fucking hell.
But I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I haven't watched this documentary about him being a nonce. I've always assumed he was a nonce anyway. Do you know what I mean? I'm not.
Turn the
I don't
blind
think
eye.
I don't think by listening to fucking Pretty Young Thing that I am endorsing noncery. There's the music and there's the artist.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to listen to anything up to and including Thriller, because it's kind of after then when the nonsense starts, so that's my get out. And after Thriller, there's fuck all
worth
listening to
anyway.
Interesting,
because that was when the music went downhill. Although I do quite like Bad, but to me it's all about Thriller and Off the Wall. I don't mind Bad. There's some good tracks on there, but it's not as good as the previous two.
Yeah,
and maybe the nonsense just started to be a distraction to his from his music.
From his muse. Yeah, can happen, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. This has been the Roy Keane Odyssey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.